Welcome to From the Spectrum Podcast. This is a podcast about autism. It is my goal to explain what is autism. I plan to use a mixture of scientific literature, personal experience, and opinion. With opinion, I will explain why I feel the way I do and give examples. I will provide links to various references for each episode. For each episode, we will discuss various aspects of autism. For today's episode, we will briefly discuss physical theories and atoms and molecules. Essentially, we will discuss energy. We will explore quantum biology, quantum coherence, quantum thermodynamics, water, DHA, and expand on NFKB. Remember NFKB from Dr. Hannah Stevens. From that episode, you can find a clip from the NFKB discussion. The goal of today's episode is further explain energy and transferring energy from the environment across our biology. Remember previous discussions about electrons and some protons. Remember Dr. Richard Fry letting us know that the whole reason we breathe is so cytochrome C oxidase can function. This produces water in the electron transport chain, which is the fourth cytochrome, sometimes called complexes. This is the last stage and how the ATPase pumps out ATP. The energy molecule our mitochondria are making. A brief refresh on our mitochondria. You know it as the so-called powerhouse of the cell. It takes energy from the environment. It could be food, but certainly light and oxygen. Remember the four red light chromophores and the VDR, vitamin D receptors, which are UV light detectors. Light is electromagnetic. Remember the iron sulfur clusters, and iron being magnetic. Oxygen is paramagnetic, meaning it collects to particles or molecules and so forth that are magnetic. It hitches a ride on iron or anything magnetic. Now you can understand iron and hemoglobin too. This is transferring energy. Last thing on the mitochondria, for now. The ATPase has an FO head. This is a quantum rotary engine, and it spins upwards to 9,000 spins per second, which pumps out the ATP. Okay, enough recap. We need to get on with today's topic. Quantum biology is a discipline explaining biological phenomena that uses various features such as coherence, tunneling, entanglement. It suggests biological systems evolved using these mechanisms over billions of years. Photosynthesis is the easy go-to. Enzyme catalyst is another. We just talked about enzymes. So also think protein synthesis. Think Pascal Jordan, Niels Bohr, Erwin Schrödinger. These theories explain how the environment influences molecules. I should say atoms and molecules. This is everything. This is the whole purpose and the whole explanation for how autism magically shows up in human evolution. transferring energy from the environment through our biology. We are no different than the trees outside, except we eat food, whereby we are supplementing the Earth's nutrients because we are not connected to the Earth. We don't grow upwards from the ground. So therefore, we must eat the food. Quantum coherence. Okay. Coherence is the role whereby light-initiated reactions in photosynthetic organisms, such as mammals, or trees, fruit bushes, and so forth, anything that receives light, integrate energy transfer. It moves states, quantum states, coherent states, particles like electrons and photons. Atoms exhibit multiple states, such as superposition. The coherence maintains a relationship. If one takeaway, life on Earth is driven by light. Light gives life. Connected to the ground, or on the ground, or moving about on the ground, we are talking about the atoms creating molecules, the fundamental building blocks of matter. Remember Einstein, light provides energy after it hits matter. The reason here is, these mechanisms underpin our biology. Light, water, oxygen, and so forth are seasonal and change with the environment. Today, humans are indoor creatures, in large part. Not all communities, but most. Follow that trend. Zoom out. Give yourself a chance here to see this. Look at the Amish. Look at the communities around the equator. Look at countries that are not fully modernized. Now let's compare the rates. Okay, quantum thermodynamics. This is a good one. Feynman won a Nobel. But I guess to be accurate, so did Einstein, Bohr, and Schrodinger. The absorption of the photon meeting matter. For humans, our skin is the largest organ, and it's very powerful. It's a solar panel. Remember melanocytes and keratinocytes. Remember melanin is much, much more than skin, eye, and hair color. Light hits matter and transfers the energy to the electron. This excites it to a higher state. Remember the recent mentions of states. There are rules to this mechanism, of course. Physics loves rules. In large part, it's probability. The matter increases energy. In other words, does its business and emits a photon. Biophoton. Sunlight has 20,000 to 30,000 lux in the morning sun and at sunset. 100,000 or even upwards to maybe 120,000 lux during midday. Remember, this can change seasonally. Also, data are strong on autism rates based on 1. The season of the birth. And 2, the latitude. These are undeniable. With everything that we know, with such as the GI, autism and GI, and everything we now know from the placenta and the womb's relationship, from Dr. Hannah Stevens, everything we know about the underdeveloped cells and problems with protein synthesis and problems with energy in the autistic phenotype. All of this is known and not really disputed. It's not controversial. Yet, we cannot fully grasp this concept, physical law concept, about how humans evolve, how mammals evolve. Yet, if we hear somebody say, well, a lot of our neurotransmitters and proteins are synthesized through the skin and gut via those melanocytes and carotenocytes, and when you hear that 95% of our serotonin is in our GI tract, that's not really complicated. That's agreed. Yet whenever we apply a cause, if this is abnormal, then we can complicate things. We love that. In quantum thermodynamics, there's also scattering. The blue sky is the easy example. And also refraction and reflection. Most importantly, and you know, or you ought to know, electrons drives mitochondria. Mitochondria is where cells get their energy, which is where and how we develop. In simple terms, cells developed trillions and trillions of cells. Where do you think humans get our energy? From food? Modern humans, especially under our centralized paradigm, probably think food. This is incorrect. In large part, this is false. I did not say we don't need food. Remember the lux from the sun. Remember, light has wavelengths. Now, artificial light, same mechanism, photon, energy, matter, and so forth. Artificial light are isolated wavelength and much lower lux. Living rooms, offices, school classrooms, and so forth, roughly 500 to 800 lux. You can see it's a big difference. So, from tens of thousands, upwards to 100,000, to a couple of hundred. Do you get that? Not only are we missing the full spectrum of light from UV to those infrareds, 280 nanometer light to 3100 nanometer light, we're just getting isolated in the visual spectrum, mostly. Modern light is blue light. I'm hoping to connect this, hoping that this is understood. And now you can also understand obesity. Do you get why Big Pharma is cleaning house with GLP-1s? They're just replacing the sunlight, the energy lost from the sunlight, with this vastly expensive new drug, this new technology, with unknown side effects, unknown longitudinal studies. But people will flock to this because it's easy, it's quick. It's something that they don't have to be uncomfortable with because they don't have to remove themselves from this new, modern, and comfortable environment. We'll see. We'll see the connections here. All of this is just a massive loss of energy. This stuff is so simple. It is so simple if you go here. Autism is a lack of energy and development. It's hard for people to accept. We want to hear something we can make sense of and think, that must be it, or that is it. We don't like that critical thinking, that those underlying feelings that are uncomfortable when we don't know something. This is human nature. This is in all forms of learning. Every time you learn, every time you attempt new things, or you want to change, the central nervous system just wants to respond. It doesn't like those insults We love when something confirms what we are, what we think, our beliefs. And we hate when something offends those, offends us, offends our capacity to think and understand. It is just human nature. The evolution of artificial light changes, follows the rates of modern chronic health implications. Light hits matter and energy happens. Electrons in biology. This is the title of the paper. Let's talk how the energy happens. Water, more cytochrome C oxidase. Water forms coherent domains. There are links to 3 podcast episodes that are fantastic in an explanation about water. Water has interactions with electromagnetic fields. This organizes molecules. This influences cellular functions, growth, and death. Health can be defined as how much water your mitochondria are producing. And as we age, we naturally decrease water production, roughly 10% a decade. However, in diseases and pathology, inflammation and so forth, water is even reduced further than that, more than that. Semiconductions. Melanin and water are powerful and necessary. Melanin receives the light. The business of cells are happening based on the brief mechanisms from earlier. Increasing electrons is the goal. DHA. Look up the nomenclature of DHA. I'm not attempting to say this. DHA is a method for increasing electron efficiency. DHA interacts with cellular functions and has a huge role in the cell membrane. The DHA has a long chain and double bonds. Long chains just describes the carbons. Not important for us. Important, but not for us. For the takeaway. The bonds describes the methyl, and it helps reduce its melting point. This allows it to support the cell, the synapses, and the plasticity, how we change and develop, how we adapt to the environment. One thing to mention, DHA has never changed, or said differently, has never evolved into something different. There's no need to. DHA provide the core of photoreceptors. Photoreceptors. Remember, we are solar powered creatures. And these photoreceptors, which we have many photoreceptors, they convert energy of photons that in turn stimulate our nervous systems, plural, and in large part, the brain. DHA are fascinating and are in cephalopods, fish, amphibians, reptiles, birds, mammals, including humans. A quick sidebar here. During the roles of oxytocin and vasopressin on the autistic phenotype, during that episode, I made a comment that it appears that oxytocin and its very dynamic and diverse roles that it has, a very simple peptide, 9 proteins, it shows that oxytocin's role in human development is vast. Maybe the reason why we are completely upright and has given us more complex life. DHA is also in this category. DHA is likely another component, or molecule, I should say, of what makes humans so complex and developed. Something very interesting is the history, the phylogeny of oxytocin and DHA go back millions of years, certainly in much less organisms, simple organisms. This has a long history. And they were also seen, DHA and oxytocin, in similar species, similar types of creatures. So we've evolved using these molecules. Vasotocin into oxytocin and vasopressin. However, DHA remains DHA. It is the primary acyl component of photoreceptor synaptic and neural signaling membranes. The goal here is quantum transfer and communication of pi electrons. Pi electrons, huge in the double bonds. You can see these on the stick molecules, the kind of ball and stick drawings that you can see of atoms and molecules and such. This dynamic role suggests it is DHA that dictates DNA. We should go here. We should understand this. It is about environmental signals processed through our biology. And for that reason, mostly, the central paradigm is wrong. If you hear a discussion, or if we discuss, this is true for foliage, things growing in the environment, in the woods, in our yard, and so forth, this all makes perfect sense for us. We can understand that. But if we think about we're created through environmental signals the same way we have evolved and we're here on Earth. We have life on Earth because of these environmental signals such as the light, the sunlight, and the Earth's electromagnetic field. Schumann's resonance. We can make sense of that. This is all accepted. But as soon as we talk about humans evolved like this, and this is how we are created, it's very complicated. We love to complicate that. It's hard for us to go here. I want to read a quote, a very significant, and I just love this quote, from someone who teaches quantum physics, quantum biology, better than anybody, in my opinion. He says, "I realize that all biochemistry is the bridesmaid to physics. I then realize that physics are how the business of cells gets completed. Light is the biophysical levers that control substrate level biochemistry in cells." That's Dr. Jack Cruz. Very worthy of checking out his Patreon. Now, I'm not tied to that. But I will tell you, it's very valuable for health, information, and longevity. Cells and cell tissue. DHA is crucial for this process. The fatty acid and lipids are huge. Neurotransmission, receptor functions, and the plasticity of the synapses. This is huge in autism, which is not controversial. There are many data reporting this, many people accepting this as a problem in autism. Developing, learning, memory, and evolving as organisms. We interact and change. We interact with each other, with the environment, within ourselves, especially autism. We interact with the environment. The data are impressive for omega-3 in pregnancy and for the autistic post-birth. Remember Dr. Hannah Stevens and the role of the placenta and womb. This is so important. This is the origins of autism, the beginning upstream process of what is autism. DHA is vital for inflammation, endothelial processes, cell signaling, immune responses, cell cycle regulation, and in autism, cleaning up the cells or pruning is a problem. The synaptic plasticity, a so-called fluidity for neural membranes, very important. A previous discussed neurotropin, BDNF, brain-derived nootropic factor from episode 5, is crucial for development. This is abnormal in autism. It is abnormal in any types of abnormal development, in intellectual disability, development delay, any problems with learning, learning disabilities, so forth. These are all similar downstream phenotypes. That's why there is always this autism and XYZ, especially for younger autistics. There it is full of these underdeveloped chronic health implications. The allergies and the eczema, this dyspraxia, repetitive restricted behaviors, the stimming, the stereotyping motor movements. Once the organism develops to a certain epoch, a certain stage of one's life, all of these things start showing up very similarly. There are all just downstream implications here. My problem is the autism research, they don't go far enough upstream to really funnel out all of these similarities to get to the true root cause. And that's my goal. That's the sole goal now of the podcast. Let's go upstream to the very beginnings of when is autism developing and where. Maybe the placenta-womb interaction. Maybe it's the embryogenesis or the third trimester even. There's so much data on autism in the womb. And things got real complicated with the DSM classifications and the public perception of autism. Let's define autism. I ask you to go look up the definition of autism or autist. This is what autism is. Now we just lump several different conditions into autism. Autism is just social withdrawal. No lack or regard for the environment, the surroundings. We are just very in tune in our inner world, right? You know it spawns from schizophrenia, very lower levels, without the auditory and visual abnormal hallucinations or the psychotic delusional features. We are just inside of our own little inner world. The outside world is very complicated. It's very unpredictable and very uninteresting, quite frankly. Autism and relationships, human relationships, are across the board challenging. However, relationships to subjects, topics, and objects are well-defined, well-observed from the 1930s and still present and still the core feature of what is autism. Criteria B3, know that. If you don't know the symptoms, the criterias, then how do you think you understand autism? What is your source of information? My takeaways are, DHA is a fiber optic for electrons. You might know of the role in the eyes. The eyes are more than just vision. The eyes are the interstate to the brain. We've talked about the differences between myelin as well. Myelin is like driving on a highway or autobahn or interstate. Unmyelinated is more of a, like a gravel road, tough terrain, things aren't moving across it as efficiently. This is why DHA is huge here, in the eye. The central retinal pathway must be arguably the most efficient area in our biology for signaling. If not, everything downstream is off, delayed. Remember melanin. Melanin is applied here too. This is why the semiconductors. DHA conveys the information of the environment to the molecules in our biology. This is why proteins are doing when synthesized. In addition to the central retinal pathway, which covers the brain, DHA are huge in liver and gut. Interesting now that Dr. Stevens informed us about the placenta and the womb and how that develops the central nervous system of the embryo, or said differently, of the child. Now we can also begin to understand the roles of pre-pregnancy, getting into the pregnancy, and the environment of the mother. The environment of modern humans, especially the mother, is going to be the most crucial, the most likely source to improve the rates of autism. If we don't go here, we won't do anything with the rates. Okay, NFKB, nuclear factor, kappa light, chain enhancer of activated B cells. Light, not light from earlier, but light in the terms of weight or density. NFKB is a transcription factor highly involved in inflammatory responses. Interesting. In autism samples, in the orbital frontal cortex, a prefrontal area involved in socialness and cognitive processes, we have calculators, sets of rules used in learning and memory and evaluating current states, risk rewards, reward prediction error, aversion prediction error, conflict monitoring, and so forth. We have all of these internal calculators. We have these, and they are constantly running calculations and updating in real time. The OFC, the orbital frontal cortex, provides data for these processes. The episode with Dr. Stevens intended to discuss the dorsal striatum because this area receives the inputs from the prefrontal and the sensory motor and the midbrain areas used in these calculations. Remember, adaptive responses and our metabolic bank account. Do I have enough resources to cover this task in real time, in physical form, or in thoughts and planning? NFKB coherence and signaling, by which it helps regulate inflammation and immune. In autism, NFKB related genes and non-coding RNAs in peripheral blood is shown in autism. A region of interest is if NFKB implicates some biochemistry changes. The explanation from Dr. Stevens covered this better than I. I will end on this has several interesting roles with cell survival, proliferation, apoptosis, the cytoplasm, and cytokines, which are big in cell adhesion, migration, helping cells adapt, and in development, a role in the central nervous system. Remember the conversation with Dr. Eric Weiss, talked about the cytokines and this umbilical cord stem cell and regenerative medicine approach that they use, cytokines is a huge part of this process. If you are listening to the podcast or listening to the episode, please feel free to leave a review or rating. In podcasting, reviews, ratings, and downloads are huge, and I very much appreciate your feedback. You can contact me on X, where we can have discussions about autism, at RPS47586. You can check out the Hop link for links to all of the shows and contact information, including email, info.fromthespectrum@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to From the Spectrum Podcast.